Sonoma County 911. What's the address of the emergency?
The story is true.
Summit County Justice Files.
Nothing but true stories on the Summit County Justice Files. Welcome. It's your weekly dose of law and order, Summit County style, brought to you by Crystal 93 and the Summit County Sheriff's Office. I'm Tom Fricke, here with Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons, and we're here to inform and educate and engage with our community.
That sounds good.
Yeah, let's do that.
That sounds really good. Let's get started.
Okay.
Hey, before we get started, though, just a quick disclaimer. The Justice Files exclude some of the more serious and sensitive offenses, as well as ongoing investigations that could jeopardize prosecution. And of course, everyone accused of a crime is presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law.
Crime may not pay, but it sure makes for some interesting stories here on the Summit County Justice File. So buckle up as we dive into the latest criminal activity and the lessons learned. And yes, more than just a few moments of law enforcement levity, because while justice is serious business, a little humor never hurt anyone. Unless, of course, it's a crime of bad jokes. Let's get into it. There was a man who reported harassment from an unknown individual after receiving multiple texts from a number he didn't know. The texter told him he knew him and continued to annoy him with texts, despite the man asking him to stop.
Yeah, you know, we talk about these fraud schemes all the time that come across text messages, emails.
Usually just one text and it goes away.
Yeah, but I mean,
not this time.
No, not this time. And, you know, again, we take all of these calls seriously and we have to look into them, because we have had these fraud schemes where they get pretty aggressive, like old, you know, boiler room sales calls.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Oh, people, there's some people going, boiler rooms, what's that?
Yeah. Google it.
But this one, the deputies, they reviewed all the text messages. They didn't find any threats or statements that rose to the level of anything criminal. So they just suggested to the man that he simply block the number. And he did, and it went away. Because, of course, the person on the other end doesn't answer the text when they think it's law enforcement asking them questions.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, but I mean, that was probably enough to spook them anyway.
Sure.
Of course, we tell people, look, just block the number. Phones can block numbers now.
It's an impressive little option that you can find on your phone.
Yeah. There it is.
There it is. Let's talk about this local resident who reported a group of men outside his condo that he found suspicious. He had never seen the men and had surveillance footage of them trying to get into his unit. He then confronted the men, and they explained that they were just trying to get into an Airbnb that they rented for the week. And we have some audio on that situation as well.
911, what's the address of the emergency?
Hey, yes, ma'am. I just came home from skiing and had two very suspicious men sitting outside of my house. One's getting out now, approaching my vehicle. I don't know what's going on. They were parked right in front of my house, and I was sitting out there, and I said, "Your house?" And they said, "No." And then, yeah, or they said, "Yes." And then, so I don't know what's going on.
What kind of vehicle were they in?
They're in a blue Chevy with a white racing stripe down it.
Are they still there?
Yes. Yeah, they are. These dudes been sitting outside my house for a while.
Oh, well, they locked.
Interesting. Okay. So apparently this guy that just pulled over said that he's there with him. I don't know. The whole thing seems very suspicious. They said they have an Airbnb, and they pointed at my neighbor's house that they live in Arizona, and I know they don't Airbnb.
All right. Well, I would just say stay separated from them. I'm going to get this aired out to a deputy and have them go check it out. But just go about your day. Just keep yourself safe. And then if anything changes, just call us back if you haven't heard from a deputy yet, okay?
Of course. Thank you. Of course. Thank you so much.
Yeah, fine.
And now body cam audio.
No.
Hi, is there anybody here that speaks English? Hablo inglés?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Hey, so I got a call about someone going to, I guess, a residence somewhere else around here.
Oh, yes. He can have a little understanding about the address.
Okay.
This is what we're renting.
Okay.
And he parked on different one because that's the only thing was the address was okay. Just because this is what is
okay. You guys,
40D.
Is this 40D. Is this just an Airbnb and you guys are doing
Airbnb.
Some work up here?
Yeah, Airbnb.
Okay.
Just
cool.
For this week.
Okay.
Somebody told me that it's that's for
the
visiting.
What? Oh, the parking area?
Yeah.
Okay. It's, I guess I got a report of someone going to other doors and trying to like unlock them. Makes sense since it's a code and they all look the same. But I just wanted to see what was going on.
Oh, okay.
It's just kind of suspicious. People going to other doors.
Yeah, we understand because early this morning, yesterday, we get that and that part right there, and we try and figure out what the key was.
Okay, cool. Did you guys rent this through Airbnb or?
Airbnb.
We had some confused guests in the county.
You know, it'd be great if they painted the doors all different colors so you could say, Tom, it's the condo with the purple door.
Right. On the second floor, not the purple door on the first floor.
Yes.
It's a whole different. Yeah.
You know, this happens more often than not that people, especially that aren't from here, they're renting something. They pull up to a building that everything does look alike. And this one was about timing. You know, these people were parked in this guy's parking space in front of his condo. And they were adamant that they had rented the condo. And they were at the wrong address, the wrong door. They were at the right address, the wrong door.
Wrong door.
And the deputies were able to confirm that, in fact, these folks were renters. They were people from out of town. And that they were a case of a mistaken doorway.
Everything was fine. No harm, no injuries, no arrests.
Yeah, you know, at the end, but you think about what these people, like the guy that called 911, are actually going through, thinking like, oh my God, I saw someone trying to get into my door, and
yeah.
I'm watching them.
Suspicious characters.
And, you know, the adrenaline just goes up until it goes down, until the deputies get there and go, everybody deep breath. But it's amazing how often this happens. It used to be that people wandering from bars because everyone used to leave their doors unlocked in Summit County. You'd find someone on your couch. Now you find someone just trying to put the code into your door that it's not their door.
Everything worked out fine.
Everything worked out fine.
That's a good thing. Let's talk about this local resident who reported a fight in an adjoining unit, explaining there had been loud yelling as well as banging sounds. The man was unable to tell how many people may have been in the unit, but said the altercation had been going on for some time. We also have 911 and body cam audio.
911, what's the address of your emergency?
Hi, we have an emergency. Somebody speak Spanish?
I have to get a translator.
All right, thank you.
Translator, can you just go ahead, please?
Okay.
We live in Dillon. We hear somebody fighting, making a lot of noise. It's been going for an hour. They're throwing things at each other, the department above us. They're throwing things around.
Is it men, males and females? Can you tell?
I cannot tell. I cannot see them, but in throwing things around.
Stay separated. Don't go up there and don't engage. Let the officers handle it, okay?
When they arrive, I will open the door of the building so they can.
Oh. Okay, I understand. Okay, thank you so much for doing that. They should be showing up shortly.
Okay, gracias.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Goodbye.
Thank you, translator. Goodbye.
The call you dispatched to is never the call you're going
to. Shower.
Can we come in and talk
yeah,
real quick?
Ahead.
Okay. Is there anyone else in here?
No.
Okay.
No, I was just taking a shower.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry. I was just getting your ass.
All right, that's okay, man.
No,
We got a call that someone was, like, making a lot of noise up here. Maybe people fighting. Anything like that?
No, what the fuck?
Okay. Did you, like, hear any of your neighbors or anything like that?
I don't think so.
Okay. Were you, like, playing video games or movie or anything like that?
No, I just took a shower.
Okay.
Getting ready to go to bed.
You were just in the shower?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I was just getting ready to go to bed.
Did you hear, like, your neighbors making a lot of noise or anything like that? Or
no, okay. I mean, I have no idea because I just kind of keep to myself.
Okay.
Hey, dude, is your toe okay?
Yeah. Oh.
Sure?
Yeah. Do you want us to call you an ambulance or anything like
dude,
that?
Yeah, it's totally fine.
You mind letting us know what happened? Did you get hurt?
I just stubbed it on the way into the tower.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Did you, like, start screaming, dude, like, fucking stuff, or?
No.
Okay.
No, I apologize. You guys are here for real.
No, that's all right. Was it, like, a loud thud, or?
I mean, not too crazy.
Okay.
Dude, are you sure you want to go on meds to check that out, man? That's pretty gassed.
No, it's fine.
Okay. It's,
I'm not too worried about it, guys, seriously.
It's pretty gnarly, man.
No, look.
I think it's those small cuts sometimes just bleed a lot.
It's not, like, bad enough for, like, fucking paramedics type shit. Okay. Like,
we just want to offer it just because some people take them for everything and some people could get shot.
Right, yeah.
Define it, you know?
No, I feel you.
So.
Like, whoever called, I really appreciate the call.
Okay.
Yeah. And all that, but, like, I'm fine. Like, I understand the gash on the toe, but.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm fine. I appreciate you guys.
Okay.
He was singing in the shower. So, what the heck was that all about?
Isn't that crazy? Comes out as like this fight has been going on for an hour.
Long altercation.
And it sounds horrible. And so that's the call the deputies get and they're responding to. Turns out this guy was getting in the shower, kicked the shower door, hit it so hard that it knocked it off its track. So it falls on the floor, clunking below. The toe is like exploded. And the funny part is, as you heard, the deputies are going, are you sure you don't want us to call someone, you know, an ambulance to look at that? Because that's pretty bad. And for the guy to be so calm going, no, I don't, I'm okay. It's good. I'm like, for a deputy to say it looks pretty bad, because we see bad shit all the time.
Yeah.
And for them to remark like, that looks pretty bad. He's like, no, it's fine.
It's fine.
It's fine. You know, he was stomping around screaming and yelling for an hour.
No, I'm sure.
But yeah, he refused any medical help and went downstairs and explained it to the people that called it in.
No harm, no foul. Only minor injury to the toe.
No harm, no foul, just another adrenaline rush.
Let's talk about this suspicious activity. Deputies received a report of helicopters surrounding the sky in the area of Frisco and Silverthorne. Helicopters! Oh, no! One caller reported hearing a loud pop sound they thought may have been a gunshot. Were they black helicopters? No markings?
Exactly.
Oh, scary.
Oh, my God.
I hate that when they come to Summit County.
You know, it is funny, though, that we never get low, like the cities do, we never get low-flying aircraft here. And when we do, the 911s just go off the hook because people can't understand whether it's an airplane, an Air Force jet doing training, which we get here in the valley
all the time.
Yeah. Or the helicopters, doing – lots of times they're contractors, either working on the ski areas or they're working on the rivers. This, another nuance of Summit County, was Colorado Parks and Wildlife counting elk herds. Our local elk herds.
Yeah.
They were up in the sky doing that. And you never stop to think that that's right. They get up there and they will put fish into lakes. They will count herds of elk. They'll count herds of deer. That's how they do it, by helicopter and airplane. And this was a low-flying helicopter counting our herds.
And so we weren't being surrounded?
We weren't. It was not a UFO.
It was one helicopter?
It was one helicopter.
Okay.
But it came out as helicopters because it was in Frisco and Silverthorne.
Sure.
For our listeners that aren't familiar, you know, those two towns are just separated by an interstate.
Yeah.
So to each one of them, it sounded like multiple helicopters. Only in Summit County.
Just Colorado Parks and Wildlife. Well, there is if you know how to read a map of flight zones.
You
can see there is a military flight zone that goes right over Summit County.
Yeah.
So training flights are not unusual at all.
No.
And we get Blackhawks. We get, I mean, Fort Carson. We get Peterson Air Force Base, Air Force
that
Academy.
Rattle the windows.
Oh, yeah. They'll come ripping on through here like crazy. And it's always fun to
watch. Wouldn't you if you were them?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean?
Let's buzz the ski area. Okay. Afterburners on.
Oh, my gosh. But, yeah, it is exciting watching them. even the big planes that fly over. But, you know, we always get 911s because they're going so fast that they're like, I swear that plane crashed because it was there 1 second and gone the next. And it's like, the plane didn't crash. It was just too fast for your eye.
Just a routine training mission.
Just a routine training mission. Watch out, you hang gliders.
Yeah.
You might end up on the tip of a F-18 jet. Right? Well,
that'll be F-35. At a future episode of the Justice Files. Definitely.
Hang glider gets hit by a jet.
Let's talk about this search and rescue. Deputies, along with members of the Summit County Rescue Group, responded to the Vail Pass Recreation Area after receiving a report of an accident resulting in the injury of a couple of snowmobilers. And we have audio on this incident as well.
Summit County 911, what's the address of the emergency?
Hi. We with friends were doing snowmobiling. And, of course, one of the snowmobile go down from the mountain. And it seems like a girl and a boy who were a driver, they need help.
So we're in a Wilder Gulch.
Yeah, we're in a Wilder Gulch.
Okay.
Wilder Gulch, trail. It's a trail. We used to be on the trail. This one. Yeah, we're with snowmobiles, but it seems like...
Okay. Are there injuries?
Probably because it was a very steep, it's almost 90-degree slope. I see two people laying down. They're not getting up.
90-degree slope.
Okay. They need emergency help.
We do have help, search and rescue, as well as medics en route to your location.
Okay.
All right. Anna, I'm going to let you go. I want you to call me back if anything changes before help gets there, okay?
Okay. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Do you have enough phone battery to last? You'll be able to call us back?
Yes, I do. Yes, ma'am. Yes, I do.
All right. Thank you so much for calling. Have a safe rest of your day, okay?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
More lost guests in Summit County.
You know, this is one of those rental companies. Good news. Well, let's talk about the good, the bad, the ugly.
Yes.
The good is that these people were riding in a group, so one of the snowmobiles went off trail and crashed. The other good thing is that this woman, obviously you could hear, she knew where she was, which we never get.
Yeah.
People are like, I don't know, I'm Vail Pass. And as you know, Tom,
it's a very big area.
It's a huge area.
Yeah.
And it goes from Summit County into Eagle County.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another good thing. And English being her second language, I thought she did a really good job, really calmly trying to describe what happened and where it happened. There's the good stuff. Bad stuff is, even in a good snow year, we have these accidents. But in these low snow years, just like with our skiing accidents where people catch an edge, oftentimes people catch an edge with snowmobiles on these, and this is like a groomed, as you know, recreational trail that they tell you to stay on. They went off the edge of the trail and went down, you know, the mountain and had a pretty significant crash. I mean, both people were pretty badly hurt. So we were able to get out there, our backcountry deputies and our search and rescue team, and able to get those folks out of the field into the hospital. But it was good that they were riding with someone, because we've had them before where we come across these crashes and they're always in the trees, right? Because eventually you're going to hit a tree if you're going off trail. And, you know, it's usually someone comes across them. And if you're in a snowstorm and that happens and there's zero visibility, it could be a while before somebody finds you.
Yeah.
So there's the good, the bad, and the ugly. And the ugly is, since they rented these machines, you know they had to pay for it.
Oh, I'm sure they did.
Yeah. And those are those ones saying...
Probably waived that insurance option.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. Like the rental car, like, I don't need insurance.
Yeah,
I'm not going to.
Yeah, I'll be fine.
And the fine print under there where you waived it says that if you crash it, anything, you're liable for $15,000 for a brand new snowmobile.
Right.
On your credit card. It'll be put on it automatically.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, they're not going to ask you to mail them a check.
No, they're just going to charge you.
They're just going to put it on your card.
That's it.
Try fighting that one.
Well, did somebody wind up going to the hospital?
They both did.
They both, okay.
Yeah,
wow.
We've got them both out of the field, both to the hospital. They both had pretty significant injuries. You know, because, listen, when you rent, even when you don't rent them, when you own them and you're on those groomed trails, people just hit the gas and think, I just want to go faster. And when you hit a tree going Mach 5, it's...
The tree doesn't want to move.
No, the tree doesn't move.
No.
And you end up with, you know, wood poisoning.
Yeah, let's be safe out there in the backcountry. Traffic stop issue. Deputy initiated a traffic stop with an individual heading southbound on Highway 9. A routine run of the license plate indicated the owner of the vehicle had a warrant out for his arrest. The deputy observed that the driver did not seem to be pulling over and was waving his arm out of the driver's side window as if to wave the deputy by. Yes, sir, you may pass. Go on by. Yeah, you don't want to pull me over, do you? No, keep on going.
Isn't that something? Like, they can't be trying to pull me over.
Right.
Like, pass
go around.
Me.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so when this guy realized, this ended up being a pretty serious incident. When this guy realized that he was being pulled over, you know, you and I talk about these traffic stops all the time where, you know, the deputies will pull them over and they have no license, no insurance. They have warrants for the arrest. They got dope in the car. This guy, when the waving the cop didn't work and the deputy actually pulled him over, before he pulled over, he started ingesting coolant, antifreeze.
Oh, geez.
Because he knew he had a warrant and didn't want to go to jail. And so as soon as the deputy did get him pulled over, he advised the deputy that he had just drank a quart of antifreeze. And we got him to the hospital, and he stayed in the hospital overnight to pump his system and try to get that antifreeze to stop him from killing him. But can you imagine that you'd rather drink antifreeze and probably die than...
So is that what he's trying to do? Commit suicide and just... Oof, wow.
He just thought that was a better option than going to jail for a warrant.
Warrant. What was the warrant for?
I don't even remember, but, you know, most of the time when people go to jail on a warrant, they get released on a signature bond.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, but they've already failed to appear. Why would you do that?
Again.
The justice system.
It's interesting.
Yeah, but this guy ended up overnight, you know, when that happens because he was under arrest. In fact, the warrant was out of a different county, and we had to call that county to say... you know, in circumstances like this, sometimes we're able to call a judge. Like, judges are on call 24 hours a day, and we can get the person furloughed, meaning that as soon as they're not under arrest while they're... Because a warrant means that you are mandated to appear. Like, there is no decision-making on the deputy's part. It's a mandate to bring that person to court. So you can only get a judge to dismiss that, or at least give them a furlough saying, once you're out of the hospital, report back in and turn yourself in. So we called this other county and said, hey, this warrant's out of your county. Can you call, you know, your judge and try to get a furlough for this person? Because we certainly don't have the staff to babysit somebody overnight in the hospital. And their judge refused to give the guy a furlough.
No way.
Yeah, so I had to call this neighboring sheriff that I know, thank God, and said, you're going to have to send somebody because I don't have the staff to watch a warrant out of your county in our hospital that decided to drink antifreeze. So it became very complicated.
I bet.
Yeah, and he was in the hospital for about 24 hours and then went to jail. Went to jail anyways.
So the county where the warrant was issued, how did they treat this then?
Well, I mean, the way we would have treated here in Summit, we've had a lot of luck with, is our judges will give them a furlough on our warrant. A judge in Summit County can't give a furlough on a judge out of another county.
Right.
So that's why I called that sheriff and said, can you get the guy a furlough? Because we can't sit on him overnight. And it's your warrant. Like, we had no other charges. None. So, I mean, we wrote him a ticket for the traffic infraction, but we had no other... We had no charges that would have put him in jail.
Right.
So but normally what would happen is he'd come here. Yeah. We would have booked him in our jail on that warrant, and then he would have been transferred back to the other county.
Did he get transferred back eventually?
Well, no. Their deputy came here, babysat him, and then drove him back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So they did send a deputy to relieve our deputy. Yeah, it's crazy.
Oh, my.
These are like the behind the scenes, like you never know
this
these things
absolutely,
happen.
Absolutely. Yeah,
it's
way behind the scenes. You never see this on TV.
You never see this on TV. You only hear it here on the Justice Files.
That's it. You are listening to the Summit County Justice Files. I'm Tom Fricke from Crystal 93 with Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons, and we get to visit on the radio on Crystal 93 on a weekly basis. Usually around Thursday mornings at 7:45, the sheriff stops by the studio, and we talk about some interesting topics of the day, and then we get into it deeper on the Summit County Justice Files. Like this incident on domestic violence. A neighbor called deputies after hearing a lot of yelling and screaming between a couple in a nearby unit.
Yeah, the deputies arrived, obviously expecting to find a fight in progress, because when they arrived, all this noise was still going on. They could hear it inside the unit. But when they were able to knock on the door and get someone to come to the door, finally, without having to kick the door in, found out it was just a couple having sex.
Oh, jeez. Whoopsie.
Some loud fornication.
Wow.
Isn't that something?
Oh,
this is,
man.
Like, we had one last week, too, on the Justice Files where we talked about this, where someone for sure thought it was a fight in the other unit.
Nope.
But no, this was one where actually the deputies walked up and thought, like, oh, my God, we're going to have to kick the door, and this is, like, going on right now. And they pounded loud enough to where someone came to the door, you know, out of breath.
Barely clothed.
Naked and sweaty, going, can I help you guys?
Yeah. You're making a lot of noise.
Oh.
Oh, boy.
Needless to say, that probably ruined the moment.
So
a couple guys in uniform show up.
Exactly. Yeah. So is that something that the couple was rather embarrassed about, or they just said, we'll keep it down?
You know, in my experience, having gone on calls like this in my career, they're proud of it. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Loud and proud, right, as the saying goes.
Oh, good for them.
I've never heard someone go, oh, my God, I'm so embarrassed, because if they're loud enough for your neighbor to call 911,
jeez.
Yeah.
Somebody's doing something right.
There you go. God bless them.
Yeah. Wow. Let's talk about this overdue skier. A woman reported that her friend was missing after coming to ski Breckenridge for the day from the Front Range. She had not reported back and was with a new friend that the woman didn't know well.
Yeah, you know, we've talked about these before where these, you know, this sounds, you know, like a nothing call, but these all of a sudden become, you know, really resource driven, because we're immediately thinking, okay, we need to call the ski area and have them talk about the sweeps they do at the end of the day, ski patrol, looking for stragglers. And then, you know, we'll look at this woman's past. We'll start looking at, is there any phone activity? We'll start looking at all these things. And one of the things we also do is we check the local hospitals. Mm-hmm. And the coroner, but if it's coroner, we'd probably know about it. But we checked the local hospitals, and lo and behold, this woman had broken her arm up on the mountain.
Ooh.
And on the way home, decided to go by to the hospital to have her arm fixed, and decided she didn't communicate that with anybody that
obviously
was expecting expecting her home.
Yeah.
So, but you know, this is one of those things where, again, we take these all serious, and what sounds just sort of like a benign, like, so she's a little late, not coming home. These really start a big draw on resources, and how we, because time is of the essence, as you know.
Yeah.
Depending on the weather, depending on the conditions, especially when we know, as you know, that ski patrol on all of our mountains every night before they close, they sweep all of those runs to make sure that there's not someone buried in a tree well. So this ended up just with a broken arm.
Just fine.
Just indeed. Fine.
Criminal mischief. A local resident called to report an ongoing issue of ding-dong ditchers who have been banging on his door, ringing his doorbell, and running away. On this occasion, he was able to catch one of the juveniles and wanted him and his parents to be tucked to by law enforcement.
Yeah, when we hear that somebody has a juvenile in custody that, you know, they've just grabbed by the collar.
Awesome.
It's a little concerning, right?
Yeah.
Tempers can fly, you know. It's not good when you hear that, especially these kind of antics that we've all done, right, Tom?
Sure.
Sure.
I mean, that's like a Halloween thing.
Oh,
it's mischief night, the night before Halloween. You know, ring the doorbell
fun.
And run.
But when,
my God, I did that so many times when I was a kid, I can't count.
We got there, and this guy was still hot over little kids playing Ding Dong Ditch, and still had this kid in custody, which we took control of quickly.
Good.
Didn't hurt the kid.
All right.
But we did call the kid's parents. We couldn't find the kid, even though he was caught by the person whose door they were ding-donging, he still didn't roll on his friends. So you got to give him credibility for
good
that,
on
right?
that, yeah.
Street cred right
all
there.
Right.
Didn't roll on anybody. The deputy did call his parents at the urging of this person and had a talk with the parents about the kid and if you could tell their friends, because you know the parents probably knew who their friends were.
Probably, yeah.
Who knows? The parents may have encouraged the behavior, may have said, why don't you guys go out and play ding-dong ditch? Anyways.
We did this when we were kids. Now you go do it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Go be obnoxious somewhere else. Not here. Just get out of the house.
Yeah. I know when I was a kid, I would have rather the cops take me than my dad.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Those are the days
you could probably talk your way out of it with the cops. Your dad, no way. Uh-uh. No. Not going
to
happen.
The cops said, we're taking you home to your parents. You'd be like, please don't.
Can I go to jail?
Yeah. Please don't. Don't take me.
There was a disturbance and deputies were dispatched to a local bar after an unruly and intoxicated man punched another male who was also getting aggressive with and pushing a bartender. And we have audio from that incident as well.
Hi, this is Copper Mountain Security. We need the sheriff's response to Whiskey Bar at Copper Mountain. Someone is fighting a bartender.
Okay.
Security's on the way right now.
Do you know if there's any injuries, sir?
No, but it sounds like it's pretty hot.
Okay.
I've gotten multiple calls about it in the last minute. Yeah, we're with him now. He's a white male in a blue parka, blue jeans. One of our officers is questioning him right now.
Okay. Is he still actively fighting?
No. We've got him separated, and he's sitting outside with our officers.
We do have people on their way.
I don't want to talk to you. No, you're not free to go.
Body cam.
Hey, let me talk to you for a second.
Wait, okay.
Nick.
Do not walk with
me
like
what's
that.
What's the reason you're holding there. Me? Okay, what's you the are detained.
It's always fun fight. Dealing with intoxicated
okay.
people.
So you either comply with us or you're going to be put in handcuffs to be detained.
For
okay?
a fight?
Yes. So are you going to be cool with us or are you ready to put you in handcuffs?
Do you want to go to jail for it?
I don't know. We don't know. We don't know what's going on. You won't talk to us. We're gonna hear their side of the story. We're gonna look at security cam footage. Whatever's going on, we're gonna make our decision. Sound good?
You're crazy. Do you think I'm answering your fucking question?
I'm not. Okay, that's fine. I mean, that's fine, dude. As long as you don't walk away, because you're not free to go. Yeah, you're not free to go, but you don't have to talk to us.
Behind the ears.
You don't have to talk to us. That's fine. Thanks.
Took off my last shit, I thought.
All right. Anything else?
Never want to hear a cop say you're not free to go.
All right. I mean, I hope you do fucking visual. You look
that's a buzzkill.
Yeah, we will. Yeah, we are.
Yo, do I gotta teach you?
No, what else?
Well, I hope not.
That's fine.
How many do you fucking whippers? Thank you. You fucking toad. Look at you. You fucking.
What's a whippersnanker, man?
Look at your jawline. You fucking. I mean, I can't believe that.
There's a couple of people walking up here.
I can't
understand what you're saying, Nick. So why don't you just hang tight, buddy?
I don't hear.
Exactly.
I can't understand you.
Right?
What's up?
Okay. Oh, that's enough of that. That's enough
of what like I said. Do you need to go in handcuffs?
That's enough of that. You're like,
you don't walk up on a cop like that, okay?
There's a limit, even for deputies.
Okay, we'll breathe the oxygen while sitting on the bumper. If you do that one more time, you're going in handcuffs for our safety, okay? In your safety. Any questions? No, sir. All right, bring it up. You're going in handcuffs because you won't fucking listen.
What's going on?
Put him in handcuffs. You're just detaining him because he keeps trying to step up on us like a jackass.
Always a fun time with intoxicated people.
What would ski season be without some bar fights?
There's always got to be at least one or two. And it's the Old West here in Colorado in the mountains.
Hey, where altitude gets you a little more fucked up, right?
Yep, that's it.
So you're going to... You're going to love it. This guy, they try to identify him, ask him for his ID. It turns out that his ID was confiscated by a previous bar that night because he refused to pay his bill.
Oh, my God.
So they figured, we'll just take his ID. When he gets sober up, we'll get a hold of him and say, come pay your bill. So when they finally did ID him, You know, they were looking for a sober party to take him to. And by the time they talked to the bartender and everyone, everyone just wanted him away. No one wanted to press any charges.
Wow.
He ended up getting a summons for disorderly conduct and turned over to a sober party. And hopefully to go pay his bill later wherever he left his ID.
Getting into a fight with a bartender, man.
He couldn't even remember the bar he left his ID. He just said it was at another bar. They took my ID because I didn't pay my bill.
So does that other bar eventually turn the ID in to any law enforcement?
I would hope so, but, you know, it would... Here's the thing. It would warrant another conversation with that bar about, did you oversee? I mean, it's a little bit... You can't get that fucked up in a bar without being overserved.
Right.
In my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it can be very... it can be dangerous. Then look what happens. Your bartender ends up in a fight.
Not cool.
Not cool.
All right.
Okay.
So he went to jail.
He did.
There's a deputy performing a routine traffic patrol who observed a truck fail to maintain its lane several times for sustained periods of time. So the deputy initiated a traffic stop.
Yeah, this is one where the deputy walks up on the car and, you know, it's like an old Cheech and Chong movie. The smoke's just coming out of it.
Can I see your license? Oh, it's back there in the bumper, man.
This is a podcast, but if we had the video, you would see that as the deputy's walking up with his body cam.
You'd see
the guy trying to blow. I know I can blow this all out before the cop gets to the window. You know, it's funny, though, but ever since, you know, weed was legalized here in, 2014, people think it's legal to drive around and smoke weed like a cigarette. And when you confront them, they're like, but it's legal, man. Right. And you're like, dude, it's not legal to drive around and smoke weed. It's still under the influence.
Right.
You can't drive under the influence of any mind-altering substance. But boy, every time. And of course, because they think it's legal, there's the weed, there's the pipe right there. There's everything right there in plain sight. As the smoke is billowing out. So this person obviously went to jail for driving under the influence and all of his dope confiscated.
Yeah.
But, you know, hopefully they learn that. I don't know.
So what is the process for testing for weed? I mean, we got the breathalyzer for alcohol. What is there
for
weed?
Yeah, they still put them through standard sobriety tests. But when you walk up on somebody that... the smoke's coming out of the windows. And
kind of obvious.
You've already got the driving behavior.
Right.
And they fail any sobriety test.
Yeah.
It's a no-brainer.
But there's no equivalent for breathalyzer.
I guess
it would be?
Yeah, blood test. And they're trying to narrow the law to what nanograms they want to say is considered under the influence. Because when it first came out in 2014, you know, they were taking guesses at how much gets you high. And now they're saying there's a lot more data now to suggest what that might be. So I think you might even see a law come out this year in Colorado kind of narrowing what that nanogram is. You know, just like it's 0.08 for blood alcohol. They're trying to narrow a number down for marijuana because it's obviously not going away and people still think you can drive. You know, you say to people, you know, you can't drink and drive. You get, alcohol?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, of course. It's like, and you wouldn't take, like, a bunch of codeine and drive, would you? You know what I mean? Like, oh, no, right. No. Then why would you smoke weed? Because it's legal. Well, alcohol's legal, too. Oh.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
So I'm sure this is something that not only Colorado sheriffs are dealing with, but all around the country where states are legalizing.
Yeah, we were one of the first, obviously. Yeah. But now states across, this is a conversation going around.
And everybody's looking at Colorado saying, what are you guys doing?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Oh, God.
Well.
Don't smoke and drink.
Don't smoke and drink and drive. Don't do any of that and drive.
That's it. Don't drive under the influence.
Let's talk about this dispute between a couple of roommates. They had a disagreement regarding the sale of a car. The buyer mistakenly believed that the license plates would remain with the car and did not understand that he needed to register the vehicle in his name and obtain a driver's license to drive it legally. So he didn't have a driver's license and he bought a car?
No. Some people think, like, it's a toy. You can just buy it, and then since you own it, you can drive it.
I can go play with that anywhere I want.
Yeah. So these two roommates were arguing about it to the point where one roommate threatened to assault the other, and of course then called 911 and went over there and ended up having the deputy explain to the roommate the same thing the roommate tried to say, like, okay, you need a driver's license, you need to register the car, and if it's not registered, you don't have a driver's license, you can't drive it.
And you need to insure it.
Oh, God.
You need insurance.
And don't smoke weed and drive. Right.
Don't drink. Don't smoke weed and drive as long as you have your license.
But, yeah, the roommate didn't obviously want to pursue any charges on his roommate for threatening to assault him. But,
yeah,
the deputy was able to straighten that out for them.
So did he wind up buying the car?
Yeah, yeah, yes.
Got a license? He's all good?
We don't know. Well, let's not.
Don't know about that. Okay.
Let's stay tuned in next week's Justice Files, and we'll see if that person's in the Justice Files for driving now uninsured and unlicensed.
Stay tuned.
Because I'm sure it's going to come up.
Be listening on a future episode of the Justice Files. Let's talk about this contraband issue. A jail deputy who was escorting a female inmate to the recreation area to grab a book noticed a note tucked into the bookshelf. One side of the note was a handwritten message from the female inmates addressing everyone who used the books, asking them to stop reorganizing them. And the other side of the note was from some of the male inmates attempting to communicate back with the female inmates, introducing themselves and trying to start a dialogue with them. It's not Facebook, it's Jailbook.
Does it? Doesn't this sound like any other domestic situation where the women are trying to organize?
Right.
And the men are like, hey
baby.
Hey, what are you doing lately?
Yeah, let's hook up.
Again, this
is. You come here often?
This is things that people have no idea happens. And like, it's like babysitting kids behind bars.
Yeah.
I mean, any way the males can get to the females and the females can get to the males, which is why they're always separated. But this stuff of note passing, and I mean, it really happens. And some of the things you find in these notes are, you can't make this stuff up. You know what I mean? So I just thought this is great to put in the Justice Files, because here the women are just leaving a note to say, hey, assholes. Hey, assholes, if you don't mind, you know, leaving a mess when you leave here. And the guys are like, hey, why don't you stay behind next time?
So, I mean, what happens is you basically have to give an inmate a good talking to.
Yeah.
What else can you do?
Unless they can find out who left the note. Because sometimes they're personal notes.
Oh.
And we're able to actually find the people that are doing it. But, yeah, in this case, it's just a warning to each pod of inmates, male and female, saying, knock it off. Because what they do is they share like a joint library.
Okay.
But obviously the males go when the males go, the females go when the females go.
So they're not commingling.
They're never. No. They're never commingling.
Let's talk
except
about
my notes.
Try to put a stop.
Hey, and Valentine's Day is right around the corner.
Ooh, yeah.
Stay tuned.
Just wait till the inmate Valentines start going around. That should be interesting. Let's talk about a skier collision. Deputies arrived at Copper Mountain shortly after receiving a report that a skier had collided with a tree. The skier lost control and struck the tree with considerable force, and no other skiers were involved in the incident. How often do deputies get called on these? Because skiers are hitting trees and getting somewhat injured, but not fatally, obviously.
Yeah. You know, the injuries are happening all the time. So what we do, the reason why the sheriff's office, the areas are all in the sheriff's jurisdiction. Some of the base areas are in the town jurisdictions, like Keystone and Breckenridge. But the mountains themselves are in the sheriff's office jurisdiction. And, you know, we try to train with ski patrol every fall, our backcountry deputies, because, you know, ski patrollers, there's returning ones and there's new ones. Mm-hmm. But we try to educate them on the difference between an accident or a serious injury and death or criminal act, because we obviously need to know about criminal acts and we obviously need to know about deaths. Some of the more serious injuries we will or won't get notified of. Especially if they're just caused by the person themselves and no criminal nexus. But the deaths, you know, by state law, we have to investigate the deaths. And, you know, unfortunately, just like with the snowmobile accident we just talked about here on the Justice Files, you know, skiers, as you know, Tom, you're a big skier. I'm a big skier. These are conditions now with man-made snow and freezing cold nights and warm days. We're getting really icy conditions. And people are going way too fast and catch, you know, people love to ride down the sides of runs to get away from the crowds in the middle, catch an edge.
Yeah.
And you're flying into the tree.
I saw a patch of blue ice on one of the edges of the run at Copper Mountain just last week. I was skiing with Leon Littlebird. And
wow.
It's like blue ice? I mean, I've seen that back east.
That's real ice.
Yeah, that's real ice. It's like, oh, wow, okay. It's an interesting season that we're having here.
And, you know, and that's scary if you don't know how to ski that.
Right. I mean, absolutely.
Because all of a sudden you go from whatever speed you're going to 10 times that speed.
Yeah, all of a sudden your edges are just not mattering anymore because the ice won't hang on to those edges and just let you slide right down.
So at the same time, we had one at Keystone that hit a tree and, like you just said, and lived. Had some serious injuries. At the time, Liv got flown out. You know, we'll land helicopters on the mountain and fly them out down to Denver to a higher level of care. But boy, all riders need to be careful, especially all the time, but especially this year.
Yeah. Variable conditions.
That was a nice way of saying it.
Yeah, I mean, that's, yeah, it's, well, you know, that's
sustained horrible conditions.
Sustained horrible conditions. That's right. Yeah, it's variable. I mean, there's unmarked rocks, unmarked stumps, there's obstacles all over the place, and it's not that typical powder season that we get here in Colorado. It's early season conditions here in February. Believe it or not. Yeah, that's the way it rolls.
Oh, God.
A search and rescue item. A solo hiker set out to hike Quandary Peak at night, but failed to bring a headlamp or a flashlight. You would think some basic necessities for a nighttime hike. As he used his phone for light, he noticed it was rapidly losing battery power. He was cold and uncertain whether he was still on the trail when he called for help. And we do have some audio on this incident as well.
Hi, I just had a question. I'm not sure exactly how I'm supposed to call it, but my son is out the Quandary Peak Trail. He called me. He said he's coming down.
But, called his mom, not 911.
Didn't bring any flashlights. And
so mom called 911.
So he said he probably had like an hour or so to get back down.
19 years old. And
maybe longer. He said the conditions are getting pretty crappy.
Right. What is your son's age, and does he have any injuries?
He's 19, and no, I don't think he does. He had a lot of gear on. He has his snow pants, his snowshoes, and his snow boots. A couple different layers of jackets. His top layer is like a kind of like an animal hide jacket with some fluffy stuff on the inside, and then he's got his little face mask thing and a hat.
Alrighty, and is he the only person?
He is. He has a little GPS, a Garmin GPS tracker thing, and then like about 4 minutes ago, his location popped up on Find Friends. So I can kind of see where he's
Mom
at.
Mom is monitoring his GPS.
At some point, he was at service.
Alrighty. Looks like we got enough information here. We're going to have a rescue coordinator reach out to you. That'll come from a, could come from a blocked or restricted number, so just be sure to answer that, okay?
Okay.
I like those jackets with fluffy stuff inside, like he had. Unfortunately, no flashlight, no headlamp, and I had enough wherewithal to use his phone before the battery completely died from the flashlight,
but
and called his mom. Jeez. Well, thank goodness mom called 911 for this.
So let's talk about the good, bad, and the ugly again.
Okay. Lay it on me.
For anybody listening, if you find yourself in any emergency, call 911 before you call your mom, a friend, a spouse, a significant other. Always call 911. We can find you, at least, if you call 911. As you can see, mom was tracking him, but as his signal went in and out, mom lost him.
Yeah.
So when we got there, you know, while we assembled a team to launch, a rescue team, one of our deputies got up there, our backcountry deputies, and launched a drone, which we talk about all the time here, lifesavers, in this case too, to look for him. We found him with the drone, and we were able, with the payload of the drone, able to take him a headlamp.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Pretty cool, right?
So you dropped a headlamp so he could find his way back.
Hey, there's the good,
did
right?
he find his way back?
No.
Oh, there's the bad.
So now we've got a team together to go look for this kid that's starting up the trail. You know, this is our 14er, Quandary. And we find him. He has everything under the sun except a lamp. We fly a drone and drop him a lamp. He puts on the lamp. He drops all his gear. He's got a backpack full of gear. Drops all his gear and like a madman, just darts straight down the mountain, like gets off the trail. So now we got a rescue team going up looking for him, and he's now lost on the trail somewhere.
So he's not even on the trail,
no,
it sounds like.
Not
he's,
anymore.
Yeah.
We found his gear, and then we found his foot, his oh, trail. And we're like, what?
Didn't anybody tell him to wait?
Or just keep going down the trail. You're on it. Just keep going. No, he panicked and felt, I guess, rescued. Unfortunately for us, you know, that night was like the mom said on the phone, the weather was deteriorating. It was really windy and blowing snow, and we crashed that drone.
Whoopsie.
I know. Whoops. That drone ended up crashing, but this guy gets down to the bottom of the mountain, and, you know, the deputy starts interviewing him because now the team is coming down, now that this kid has found his way down. And the kid asked if he could keep the light.
No way. Really?
It's like a really expensive, you know, headlamp.
Oh, yeah.
And the deputy's like,
no.
No. Someone else might need that. Someone like you. But I'm thinking, you know, literally this kid had all the equipment under the sun on him and in his backpack except a light.
Did he leave before sundown?
Well, I'm guessing it's usual where people just misjudge how long.
Right.
Like, oh, I'll get up there in a couple hours.
Yeah, I'll have plenty of light. Whoa. Plenty of light. Then you get halfway up and it's dark.
You know, you don't rescue the smart ones.
Yeah. Got him down okay.
Got him down.
Reunited with mom. Mom is reassured. Mom is all good.
Mom was good. He was good. His mom should buy him a headlamp.
I would think so. Hey, guess what he's getting for his birthday? Let's talk about an employee for a booting company put boots on several cars that were parked illegally at an apartment complex. Several of the vehicle owners were there at a party. The employee was approached by a large group of angry people and was pushed over the boots. Is this the famous Denver boot?
These are those boots. Yeah. I mean, you know, there's a few residential apartment buildings here in Summit County that, because of parking issues that, you know, we have all over the county here, deploy these boots. I mean, and it's almost like they're hiding in the bushes. I mean, we get these complaints all the time saying, hey, I came out of my car. I was visiting my friend and my car was booted. That's because they're parked in someone else's, you know, they don't care and they parked in someone else's space.
Uh-huh.
But at the moment, that doesn't matter to them. What matters is they got booted. But you would think, like, if I was visiting you, Tom, and you lived there, you would say, hey,
Don't park there, park here.
Because you'll get booted.
Right.
But I guess that conversation doesn't take place, and especially when you're having a party and everyone just parks where they want, and they come downstairs and there's 15 cars booted.
Oh, boy.
And the booting company's sitting there leaning against their car like their hand out going, just start paying. I'll unboot them.
How much do they charge to
unboot? You know, it's not cheap. I mean,
no, I know.
I mean, it used to be when they first started, and I'm sure it's a lot more now. So I don't know what it is today currently, but it used to be like between $50 and $100 to have it removed. And it's just a private company that does this. I mean, they're regulated, but still it's a booting company. And there's nothing we can do. There's no criminal act here. And it's on private property.
There's a video on YouTube that I saw of a guy who owns a big pickup truck. It's, you know, lifted up, so it's got you know, big wheel clearance.
Dually.
And it was booted. He said, I'm going to drive it, and he drove it away with the boot on it. There was enough clearance in his wheel well where the boot wasn't ripping out the interior of the wheel well.
God.
And he was just going along, bump, 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 bump. It's like, oh, God. Yeah, look for that one on YouTube.
I still wonder how he got it off.
If he ever did.
If he ever did,
yeah,
or
right.
did it just fall off?
It apparently fell off when the axle did.
Oh, that's a good one. Well, these people ended up settling with the boot guy.
Right.
And, you know, we got a description of the guy that got into the fight and couldn't find him. And the guy he fought said, look, I want to take the boot off my car and go home. I don't want to pursue anything. This was another buzzkill night.
Yeah.
You know, come out and find my car booted along with everyone else's at the party.
Well, at least there was a guy there to take care of it as opposed to call this number and we'll get there in the morning. You know, I mean, that could have been the other option.
I don't know what's worse. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, I guess so, that someone's waiting to take him off. You just got to pay for it.
Here you go.
Oh, my. It's probably because he wasn't done booting until Friday night.
Still doing more.
Business is good. When those 15 people leave, he just waits half an hour, there'll be 15 more people.
There we go. They'll come back. There will be more people parking illegally.
The party host say, hey, parking's kind of tough here.
Hey, let me pick up that tab for the boots for you guys. So thanks for coming over to the party.
If I was a neighbor, I'd rent out my space.
Ooh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, yeah.
I'd be like, hey, if you want to park here, you won't get booted. And how much is the boot? $100? Ah, 75, you can park here.
No problem. Hey, for you, since you're my neighbor, 50. We can work a deal.
Cash only. Oh, wait, you can Venmo now and stuff, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, never mind.
Trespassing incident. A local resident called for help from deputies after a woman whom they didn't know showed up on their driveway and began yelling. One of the residents went to the door to figure out what was going on, and the woman said that she was looking for her boyfriend, who wasn't there and was unknown to the man. She then pushed past him, entered his home without permission, and made her way around the house yelling for her boyfriend. She found a locked door and insisted that he was in there, and caused some damage to the door before being escorted out of the residence. We have audio on this incident as well.
Another one you can't make up.
911, what's the address of the emergency?
Hi, I got some intruder at my house. She's
so calm again.
Jeep right now, but she was once just screaming Brian in my house at the top of her lungs. And there's no Brian who lives here.
And she's leaving right now?
Yeah. She had come into my house, not invited.
She came into your home?
Yes. And she was screaming Brian at the top of her lungs. And nobody knows who she is.
Which way is she going?
She's standing at the bottom of her driveway. I'm in my home. I guess she's out standing in the road staring at our house.
All right. And your door's locked?
She parked her... Yeah. We told her she has to leave. And she started screaming, Brian, Brian. She's having an episode for sure.
You think she's currently intoxicated?
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. 1,000%. And she's leaving right now.
Do you know what she might be intoxicated on?
Whoa. She's going to hit your car.
Oh, God.
Which way is she going?
So she just went towards the school. That chick was definitely intoxicated, for sure.
That chick.
I don't even know who she is.
So I have this out to sheriff's deputies. They are looking for that vehicle.
All right, okay.
Body cam.
Good, how are you?
Good. Can you, let's talk. What happened this morning? Down the street.
What do you mean?
You have no idea what I'm talking about at all? Because we're not here to just waste time. We didn't just come find you for no reason. So what happened down the street? In the house you went and talked to this morning?
Brian.
You were looking for Brian?
Looking for Brian.
Okay. And was Brian there?
I haven't heard from him.
Is Brian inside?
No.
Okay.
I don't know where he is, actually. Do you?
No.
No, I haven't heard from him.
So why'd you go down?
Is this where he said he was going?
That's where he said he was going? Okay. Yeah.
When's the last time you talked to him?
May 7th.
Last night?
7 this morning.
Oh, 7 this morning.
Yeah.
And what happened this morning? Were you guys fighting?
I don't have to say anything.
Okay. I just want to know why you went down to that house to find him.
Because I was looking for him. I was worried about him.
Did he say he was over there?
I was worried about him. I was looking for him.
You were looking for him?
Yeah.
Okay. And when you got down there, did you go in the house and try and find him?
I asked Terry there.
Did you look around the house to try and find Brian?
Yeah, Terry said that Terry wasn't there and Brian wasn't there, so I left, so I came back here.
Okay.
And I don't know where he is anymore.
Okay.
I hope he's okay.
Did you look downstairs for him, too? See if he was down there?
I don't know where he is. Yeah, no, he's not there.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Mary, you understand you went into that house. There were people in that house that you just walked right in and tried looking for Brian, and they told you Brian wasn't there.
Excuse me. He told me he was there.
Okay, but you can't just walk into somebody's house, is what I'm saying.
He told me he was there.
Who told you he was there?
Brian.
Brian told you he was there?
Yes.
Okay, they told you Brian was not there.
Brian was with Terry.
Okay, so did Terry tell you he was there?
Brian was with Terry.
Because Terry wasn't down there either.
Well, I don't know. Okay.
Okay, you are under arrest.
No,
yes.
No.
Yes, turn around, put your hands behind your back.
What?
Do not,
it's okay.
Do not resist.
Relax.
Put your hands out.
What?
Let go of your keys, please.
What?
Into their house. Stop. Stop. Okay?
I'm going to take
these keys
out of
your hands.
Do not just walk into
people's houses, okay?
Let go of these keys, man. Okay. Okay, thank you.
Hold on.
Let's
want
get
shoes or something?
Oh, I'm okay.
Look, there is like 6 inches of snow out there.
That's fine.
You're gonna freaking lose your toes. Can I get you some slippers?
I'm okay. I'll be fine.
She refused to put on shoes
or
a jacket.
Sure, we can grab you shoes.
Dude, I really want you to get some kind of shoe.
I'm alright. Let's go.
A sandal, anything.
We're good.
It's a long drive to jail. Your feet are gonna be freezing.
We're okay.
You can't just walk into somebody else's house looking for Brian!
She's like, what?
Or anybody else.
Yeah, she destroyed this house.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She walked in there, and, I mean, that guy, it's amazing. You never know from the 911 call, right? Sometimes
right.
you hear these 911 calls that are just blood-curdling, and sometimes you find all this destruction, and you're like, and the guy was just like monotone. Like, yeah, someone walked into my house. Yeah, she destroyed the house. Luckily, he got her license plate, and we were able to find out where she lived and went to her house is where we found her. And for any listeners that are wondering, we eliminated the fact that there was any mental health issue.
Good.
So we had her cleared for mental health. So it was intoxication, but she somehow was communicating with Terry and Brian told her that he was there, and she was, come hell or high water, she was going in that house to look for Brian.
They sounded like she sobered up when the cuffs went on.
Oh, yeah. She was kind of like, what?
Yeah.
Get rusted. What do you
for
mean?
What? What did
you
I
can't,
do?
You can't just barge into someone's house and destroy it? Yeah, she kicked in a few doors and just made her way through this house.
Oh, wow.
Crazy.
Yeah.
That is, for the person calling, you never know by the 911 call, but that's
so chill. Yeah.
That's frightening.
I'd be a little more animated.
A little more.
I think.
Yeah. Right?
Right?
A little more urgency in your voice.
So what charges is
I think she went certainly for burglary and criminal mischief. Those were the charges that she got arrested for, but and like I said, so we're clear. We did screen her for any mental health issues, and she was fine mentally.
Did she ever find Brian?
We have found Brian subsequently.
Oh, really?
Through another call that might be on another justice file.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
But
stay tuned.
Not in this one.
Not this Brian.
But we did find Brian.
Okay.
Yeah, there are a couple, by the way.
They are.
Yes.
Oh.
Brian and Mary. Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. I hope things go well for them.
I do, too.
And I hope she keeps track of Brian. Let's talk about the
GPS. You should talk to that 19-year-old kid's mom.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Give him a headlamp. Oh, there is a case where there was a woman and her husband and her mother. They came to the mountains to visit, and they decided to try legal marijuana edibles. And they soon regretted their choice when one person began to feel panicky and another experienced a rapid heart rate. Adverse effects to the cannabis.
If I had a nickel for every one of these calls, the people that come to Colorado
yeah.
and just go, hey, I'm away from my home state or whatever, I'm going to try X, Y, and Z. And they try it. And of course, You know, if you talk to anyone that eats edibles, you know, they go, you know, you can eat some and not feel anything and go, oh gosh, I guess I should have finished the whole package. And before you know it, an hour later,
oh boy,
you know, they're seeing things and their body's morphing into things. And unfortunately for these people, or what made it even more complicated, was English was not their first language.
Oh my. So now did they call who?
The deputy, thank God.
Did they call 911 or?
Oh yeah, they called 911.
They did. Oh wow.
Yeah,
okay.
We got medical attention there and you know, got them to the hospital for them to just come down to earth. And,
right.
But you know, especially when weed was legalized here in Colorado and edibles weren't regulated like they are now, where it tells you how many milligrams of THC.
Right.
This was happening like literally every night. Uh-huh. You would get at least a call of some crazy scenario, and it was always around edibles.
These brownies are so good. I think I'll have another.
Yeah.
I'll have one more. Okay, just another one, and then pretty soon they're wiped out.
I would say more so now it's around mushrooms, ketamine, you know, other hallucinogenics that people are overdosing on and walking down the street naked and, you know, doing crazy stuff.
The stuff that we like to talk about here
on the
Summit County Justice Files. That's a wrap for this episode. This week's Summit County Justice Files. I'm Tom Fricke, along with Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons. And remember, knowledge is power. And a little laughter along the way doesn't hurt either.
Yeah, just so we're clear, our coverage doesn't include every crime. We leave out some of the most serious and sensitive cases, and all suspects are presumed innocent till proven guilty in a court of law. With that said, stay safe, stay informed, and if you're thinking about committing a crime or eating too many edibles, it never ends well. And you might just end up as our next feature.
You can also read the Justice Files on the Summit County Sheriff's Office website. That web address, summitsheriffcolorado.gov. Until next time, this is the Justice Files, where law meets laughs and justice always has the final say. And as always, Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons, thank you for your service.
Oh, thank you, Tom.